This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to www.ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Ernst Lusen, man from Germany and Riesling King. How are you, Ernst?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Excellent. What we're going to talk about today is a wee bit about yourself and a wee bit about Riesling as well. It's a great variety and maybe how it can express itself from soils, etc. How did you get into wine, Ernst?
Well, I mean, that's pretty simple. I inherited a wine estate because, you know, our family is about 200 years in the wine business, you know. So in 1988, my father became very sick, and so we are a Catholic family, you know, six kids, you know, and somebody has to take over the winery. And so when I studied archaeology, and so all my brothers and sisters said, oh God, you have to do the winery because you're going on social welfare anyway, because you can't get a job. I think it's even in this country difficult to get a job as an archaeologist.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but I'm very happy, you know. It's a wonderful old traditional estate, as I said, 200 years in the family. Wonderful Grand Cru vineyards along the Mosel, you know, along the Middle Mosel. We are from Bernkastel, which is just right in the Middle Mosel. We have six Grand Cru vineyards, beautiful vineyards in the traditional steep slopes, you know. Yep. Old vines. I mean, all these wines are still uncrafted. That means original rootstocks. We don't have any, you know, American rootstocks because this little nasty Phylloxera laus wasn't yet in our area. So this is a real rarity for whole of Europe, you know. And so from that point of view, it was fantastic to get, to have these vineyards, you know.
Sure. Okay. Sounds very good. You're mainly Riesling. Do you grow any other grapes?
Well, in the Mosel, we grow with the Dr. Losen estate. We grow only Riesling, you know. This is the most traditional grape variety in the area, and this is what the Mosel is famous for the Riesling. Sure. And 200 years ago, it was this old Archbishop of Trier, Clemens Wenceslaus, who introduced the Riesling as the single varietal for the Mosel. So there's a 200-year tradition for Riesling in our area.
Yeah.
But we do have a second wine estate on the Rhine River, just north of Elsass on the German side.
Yep.
It's called the Pfalz area, the Pfalz region or the Palatinate. And here you have pretty much the same tradition as in Elsass because it's so close together, beside of Riesling, which has a very long tradition in the Pfalz too. But beside of Riesling, you have also Pinot Gris, Pinot Blanc, Silvaner, Gewürztraminer, all these grape varieties you also find, Pinot Noir, you also find in Elsass. So from that point of view, in the Mosel, only Riesling, but in the Pfalz, Riesling, plus the other traditional varietals like Pinot Gris, Pinot Blanc, Pinot Noir, Gewürztraminer, and Silvaner.
Excellent, excellent. So do you grow Riesling in Mosel, Pfalz, and anywhere else?
Yes, in Washington State.
That's right.
Yeah, we do have a joint venture there with the largest estate in Washington, in Seattle. It's called Chateau Saint-Michel. And since 1999, we have a joint venture, and we're doing Riesling together because Chateau Saint-Michel or Washington is famous for their Riesling. They built their reputation 30 years ago on Riesling. And we produce a Riesling there, which is called Eroica Riesling, Chateau Saint-Michel and Dr. Losen. And it became the most successful American Riesling now in America.
Is that partly to do with your reputation?
Definitely I brought some new ideas into it. I wouldn't say, and I want to make it really clear, it is not the way that me as an old world guy coming to the new world and say, oh, you guys don't know anything. And I learned a lot from these guys, you know. But I think what we did, we brought the best together. We brought the best from the old world together with the best from the new world, you know. Mm-hmm. And we have been discussing everything, and I have a wonderful relationship to the winemaker there. And so I think it is a real wonderful collaboration, you know, that we really created a Riesling which we think is typical for Washington State, because before that nobody had been thinking about it. What is typical for Washington State?
How should
a Washington State Riesling look like? We all know how a Riesling from the Mosel should taste or how a Pfalz Riesling should taste like, or a Rheingau or an Austrian Riesling or Alsatian Riesling should taste like, but nobody had a clue what makes a real great Washington State Riesling. And I think this little collaboration put us a lot of steps forward to create the style for Riesling in Washington State.
And what is that style?
It's different to Mosel or Pfalz, so it's not bone dry, as we find it rather in the south of Germany or in Austria, you know. It is, say, kind of, we see that something like 12, 15 cranberry citrus sweeteners, which is what we would call medium dry, you know, suits these wines best. Sweeter doesn't work. Drier didn't really work. And so something like 12% alcohol, you know. So I would rather think it is, yeah, it is his own style, you know. It's difficult to compare it now to say, oh, it's like Pfalz or Elsass.
What about the flavor profiles coming through?
Oh, the flavor profile is also a little bit different. We have rather more these yellow stone fruit aromas, you know, in the Mosel.
Apricots.
Yeah, apricot and sometimes this yellow peach, you know, and mango and these kind of stuff, you know. In the Mosel, we rather have this green apple, you know, or white peach fruit aromas, you know, sometimes cassis and so, you know. And so it is, we have rather this more riper, so yellow fruit, stone fruit aroma structures there in Washington.
Do you think that's a function of the climate? Because obviously you said it was a bit riper, so usually if you leave the grapes on a wee bit longer, you get a higher ripeness.
It's you know, I mean, I think this is quite nice expression as the French use the terroir. A lot of people think terroir is only soil.
Yeah.
It's not only the soil. I mean, soil is also an important part of it. But with terroir, I think the French describes everything. It is the soil, the microclimate, you know, exposure, inclination of sun, drainage of the soil, all these different factors which creates the unique taste or style of the wine, you know. And it is definitely very important because it is not only the soil. You couldn't go and say, I have now three buckets, one with this soil, one with this soil, and one with this soil, and put the same grape in there, you know, and then they are all the three are different, you know. It is very important also to respect the microclimate, you know, and the drainage, and, I mean, exposure, inclination, all these things, you know.
You see in Sauvignon Blancs in New Zealand, the longer the hang time on the vine, you do see a development of different flavor compounds coming through the
absolutely,
wine.
Absolutely, you know, exactly.
And it does Riesling express this similarly?
It's absolutely, you know. It is definitely something very important with Riesling, as, by the way, with Pinot Noir. Both are cool climate grapes, you know. Mm-hmm. So Riesling really doesn't work in a too hot of a climate.
Yep.
You need at least cool. It can be hot during the day, but you need cool nights. Because all what's about Riesling is the acidity. The backbone of Riesling is the acidity, you know. And if you don't get the acidity with the Riesling, then it's a boring wine, you know. And that's, by the way, a little bit with Pinot Noir, too. Therefore, Pinot Noir and Riesling has a lot of things in similarity, you know, in common, you know. And this is, for example, in Washington, you know, we have pretty hot because it's a kind of a desert, you know. I mean, we have hot days, but we have very cool nights, and therefore we get the backbone of the acidity. And this is the same. If you look to the great Rieslings, they're always northerly grown, you know. Northern areas grown, you know.
In the southern hemisphere, southern areas.
Or there. And because if you look to Rieslings, for example, in California, it's too warm. The nights are too warm, so they burn the acidity, and the wines are pretty uninteresting.
Yeah, so the acidity goes first before the flavors develop.
Yeah, I mean, Riesling needs the acidity to express itself and to express the flavors, you know?
Sure.
Riesling without any acidity is a pretty boring wine, but I would think that every wine without acidity is pretty boring.
I do like a wine with a nice backbone of acidity.
Yeah, because the acidity is also very important for the ageability, you know, of the wine, you know?
Yeah, because it's a preservative, isn't it? It helps wine age. Talking about the terroir, you've got, in your notes, you've got different soils. You seem to have about three different types of soils.
In the Mosel, with the Dr. Losen estate, we have three different types of soil. We have the classic, the typical slate soil, the Devonian from Devonian time, you know. I think it's something like 400 million years old, Devon time, but I'm not a geologist.
You're an archaeologist.
Archaeologist, but not a geologist. I didn't do geology. And we have different types of slate. We have in the area between Bernkastel, Krach, and Velen, you know, we have blue slate or gray slate.
Yep.
Then we have another vineyard in Erzig, in the village of Erzig. It's the Wurzgarten vineyard, which means spice garden vineyard, you know. Here we have red volcanic soil, you know, which is quite an exception for the Mosel, you know. And then a little bit further, the next village in Erden, you know, the Treption vineyard, the little staircase vineyard. They built little staircases in the vineyard, you know, so they named it Treption, the little staircase vineyard. Here we have red slate. Here we have a high content of iron in the slate, which oxidized and turned the slate into a red color.
Yep.
But these three different soil types, you know, just give different flavors and character to the wine.
Can you describe the different flavors?
Yeah, it's pretty easy, basically, you know, because with the blue slate, with the gray blue slate, you know, and, you know, schist is very fragile, so the slate is very fragile. We have only 1 meter maximum, 2-3 feet maximum topsoil, then the pure cliff, the slate cliff starts. So the roots are going very deep into the soil. Here with the blue slate, we rather have these, as I described beforehand, these green stone fruit aromas, often green apple, you know, golden delicious, you know, often, very often golden delicious. We have sometimes white peach, you know, that's also very typical for the gray, with the gray slate, you know, sometimes a little bit of cassis, you know. With the red slate, the aroma structure is going much more minerally driven. I think it has to do with something with the iron in the soil, which is oxidized. You see that the acidity with the blue slate is more softer and more delicate, you know, and finesse, you know. The acidity with the red slate is much more vibrant, you know, racy, very minerally driven, you know. I always compare these two wines, you know, the wines from the blue slate, that's the ballerina, you know. And the wine from the red slate is rather a kind of a mountain climber, you know?
Yeah.
You know? It's kind of steady, you know?
Yeah.
And then the Wurzgarten with the red volcanic soil, you know, this is more kind of, especially with age, and that's the reason it's called Wurzgarten, Spice Garden, we rather got aroma structures of spices, you know? Often, so Christmas cookie spices, you know, typical German Christmas cookies is this Spekulatius or Printen, you know? This typical Christmas cookie spices like cardamom, you know, nutmeg and these kind of stuff, you know, which you find in the Erzio Wurzgarten, you know? And so it's, for me, it's rather a wrestler, you know? So, and it's pretty muscular, you know?
Yeah.
And the acidities are not that high in this soil. It's more buffered. So from that point of view, you can really describe these wines, I mean, with the different aroma structures and also with different personalities, you know?
Sure. Climatically, are they similar climates?
Yes. They're all south-facing, you know, south-facing slopes, steep slopes, you know, 70 to 80% steepness, you know? Exposure to the south, you know, steep, you know?
Similar cropping levels, similar age.
Because we still have, as I said, all uncrafted wines, you know, all original rootstocks, you know, and the vineyards there in Velen, Quach, Bernkastel, they're all between 70, 80, even up to 100 years old, you know. So from that point of view, analytically, the wines are pretty much the same, you know, because you can compare the cabinet level in between.
Yep.
So the blue slate cabinet, the red slate cabinet, and the Wurzgarten cabinet, you know, from the volcanic soil. So they have the same ripeness. Analysis is pretty much the same, but you see the differences in style and character.
Fantastic. Okay, we'll wrap it up there.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for your time.
Thanks.